Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
Detox diets can really be controversial. People are not quite sure how to even go about starting a detox diet, much less a raw food diet. My guest is Natalia Rose. She's a clinical nutritionist, and she wrote The Raw Food Detox Diet. So, Natalia, tell us about beginning a raw food diet and what it's going to do for us.
Okay. Well, the first thing to know is that the raw foods, depending on how what you consider to be raw foods, I like to think of raw foods, what raw foods should be, what they originally started out as being before they got all faddish, is water-containing fruits and vegetables. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about raw food in my vocabulary. And, you know, there's a lot of fancy raw food out there, but the raw food movement was originally meant to be about water-containing fruits and vegetables because they have the alkaline force, they have the vitality in them. Anything that's had its water removed, it's dense, it has no vitality. So that basically doesn't mean you can't eat it, but don't go looking for it to do any great thing. It's not a healer.
For people that are confused, does a raw food diet mean strictly vegetarian and vegan?
Well, it can and it can't. It depends on how the person's doing it. I mean, there are people out there who do all raw diet, who do consume raw meats and, you know, other non-vegan raw foods. That doesn't apply to my approach, my philosophy of how raw foods should be done, but it's certainly valid for them. The way I would look at raw food diet is think about it in terms of water-containing plant foods as a centerpiece of the intake, and then there's room for other things as well. The way I would set it up for someone is to look at it in terms of the more toxic you are, the fewer raw substances, the fewer water-containing fruits and vegetables and juices should be in the diet. The less toxic you are, the more you can do. Now, that might seem a little confusing to most people. It'd be like, well, you know, wouldn't I need more raw foods if I was more toxic? No, because what will happen is if you put too many water-containing raw foods into a toxic body, there's going to be so much waste that the raw foods will awaken, and the bowel is just going to get paralyzed. So at first, there might be a few days of amazing eliminations, but then when the deeper matter is hit, the system is too weak to deal with the amount of waste that the raw foods will awaken. So if you're really toxic, if you're carrying a lot of extra weight, if you have a really tough lineage of illness, then I would tread very slowly and carefully. Also, this goes for people who are over 50 should tread carefully, meaning have a vegetable juice, but don't make it a really medicinally green vegetable juice. Have celery, cucumber, carrot, and beet. And an apple. Make that your vegetable juice. You don't need to have only salads. You want to throw in some cooked vegetables, some fish, some an omelet if you want, some baked sweet potatoes, some clean grains like buckwheat, quinoa, millet. So the cooked foods and the non-raw vegan water-containing foods are good for people to integrate if they're not super cleansed.
There's more and more products out there that are considering themselves raw, like the fat flush tortillas, these live sprouted grains and that sort of things. So those are not cooked products, correct?
Well, some of them are. I would check very carefully to make sure. It's a sprouted grain can be a cooked grain or it can be a raw grain. It really depends. So if I don't know about the fat flush ones, but if they're sold in stores, they're probably sprouted grains. Sprouted grains are a huge upgrade on regular grains, on like a, you know, whole wheat, if you will. But it would not mean that it's live. It just means that the grain has been able to germinate. It's going to be much more easy to digest. So there's a difference between digestibility and raw. But what really matters is not so much how raw is your diet, but how much waste is leaving your body. So if somebody could be doing an all-raw diet but not having good bowel eliminations, and they could feel terrible and have acne and migraines and their teeth fall out because they're just doing it all wrong, and then you have somebody who's treading very slowly, like I was mentioning before, who's having amazing bowel eliminations and has upgraded their diet significantly, taken out all the things that would be, you know, considered toxic, and they're having these amazing upgrades. So it's not about how much raw, it's about how much elimination. The raw water-containing substances are just a vehicle for awakening the waste that needs to be eliminated, you see? But Americans love to, you know, think in terms of black and white. So if raw is good, then let me do all raw, and let me be hardcore, and let me impress all my friends. And, you know, if you're not raw, if you're not vegan, if you're not one of these things, then pooey on you.
Well, so I asked you this off the air, too. What about things like probiotics, yogurt, certain things like that? Are they, and how about fermented products like kimchi or even wine? Are these products considered on a raw food diet?
That's such a good question. Okay, so in terms of probiotic foods like yogurt and kefir and kombucha, all those things, including the pickles in a jar and sauerkraut, okay, those things, if they're made with raw ingredients and they're consumed within about 6 days of making them, then they're alive, beneficial, and alkaline. Alive, beneficial, and alkaline, okay? If you're going to start out with something like a pasteurized cow milk and make a yogurt out of that, that's not beneficial. The little bit of probiotic it may have is going to be canceled out by its acidity and its mucus-forming content. So it's basically a no-go. If you're talking about the probiotic foods that are sold in the stores, only if they're made from raw products and raw ingredients, and they're truly, like, you know, made from the right stuff, they still might not be good because they may be over 6 days old. They probably are if they're sitting there on the shelf. So they're going to just wind up being mostly lactic acid. So you want to, they have to be properly created and procured.
And wine?
And wine. wine is not going to be a health generator. It's definitely not a health food. I can't emphasize that more strongly. But it's also one of those things that can be included over the long term when other things are corrected if somebody really enjoys it. So it's not going to be the the thing that breaks the whole thing, everything down. I've seen most of the people that I see have success with cleansing are the people who make friends with their joys and their limitations. So if they know they love wine, they know they love cheese. In my case, it's wine, cheese, and chocolate.
Me too. I'm right there.
I have the best quality chocolate. I make sure I have 70% chocolate. I don't like the raw chocolates. They have too much coconut butter in them. They also don't taste very good. So good quality organic dark chocolate. I do like to include wine, and I really love raw goat cheese. I find that that's the kind of thing that makes it easy for everyone to continue. If you can have, you know, a beautiful raw salad with, you know, leafy greens, tomatoes, and, you know, and garlic and lemon juice, and, you know, make it really delicious, then you shred some, the hard goat cheese, the hard raw goat cheese. Fantastic. There's a brand called Altadena.
There's a lot of raw cheeses on the market now. And as people bring in the unpasteurized raw milks, and, you know, you get involved in those dairy farms and such, but the raw cheeses, even at Whole Foods, there's bunches of them now.
There's so many, and some of them are really creamy and delicious. So if you can use those things and not look at them, but the trick is to make your diet abundantly water-containing, mostly vegetables. I'm going to say vegetables because fruits can really screw people up. They're the cleanest food for man if they're grown correctly, but man is not clean enough for fruit. And that's the issue, and that's why people say, you know, get have issues around fruit. It's a real issue. It's a real problem. But once you've cleansed, you'll be able to do fruits much more readily. And if you want to have fruits while you're cleansing, just make sure that you don't do too many fruits. If you do a lot of fruits, you're going to find that the bowel really inflames because it's going to awaken so much and get a little aggravated because it can't. The deeper matter is much harder to move. If you couldn't move it when you took it in that first day, it's not going to move on its own easily, you know, 10 years later. So the fruit hitting it, the fermentation is going to add insult to injury. But if it's done on an empty stomach, it's going to be digested best. Don't want to mix it with other foods. And then try and keep it to low-sugar fruits as much as possible until you're more cleansed and your bowel can handle it better.
That is great information. Thank you so much, Natalia Rose. And the book is The Raw Food Detox Diet. You're listening to RadioMD.com. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.